What's up, guys? This is Justin the Highlight Gaethje, and you're about to get KO'd by Knockout Radio.
There you have it, Justin Gaethje.
He's calling out two for ones.
He is.
I'll jump in that match. Let's do a tag team.
But then it's not two for one.
Because I'll be, I would go with the Canadian. No, I can't be at the Canadian because you can't celebrate if you win. That's right? True. So you can't be with Beaver. I mean, you don't want to be with Beaver.
You'll be with Drake because Drake's going to celebrate no matter what. Sean just bought a shirt. I don't even want to butcher it, but it has something to do with the Raptors, only it's Drake's photo.
Okay. Right.
So, don't you want them to lose just because of Drake? I do.
I want them to win because of Drake.
No, I want them to lose because of Drake.
Drake is the greatest thing that's ever happened to Canada.
He's the greatest thing that ever happened to medical miracles is what it is.
Because he's walking around.
Which is sad, and I'm joking for all the people that are out there suffering medical-wise and all that kind of stuff. Big announcement coming up in 10 minutes.
Yes, huge announcement.
Someone is stepping in on 2 weeks' notice to fight next Saturday, Bare Knuckle FC, out at the fairgrounds. It's going to be interesting.
Big time.
Pulled off a huge,
and we're still
huge
taking,
upset.
We're still taking your phone calls. If you want to win these tickets,
that's right.
There's not a bad seat in the house. Only 4,000 seats in the arena. Guaranteed, you're going to get $80 value just by winning the ticket. So there's not a bad seat in the place.
It's good stuff.
It's going to be a great venue. It's going to be a great time. Time to put Tampa on the map.
You're going to know the name. Trust me.
And like you called last week, you said this could be the greatest.
Biggest. Yeah.
MMA fight of Tampa's history, and we've had some amazing fights here.
I truly believe it. I'm not trying to push and promote. You know, and Paulie kind of laughed at me when I said
he did.
You know,
yeah.
He's like, come on, there's been bigger fights. This could be a bigger fight. It doesn't mean it will be. You know, we don't know.
Until they go through it.
What Paulie, right. What Artem, you know, Paulie's boxing, has he? And
were
again,
you surprised? Were you surprised by how passive Paulie was last week about?
Yeah.
Didn't you expect him to be, like, very full of himself and very hyped up and like, but he was very like, whoa, I don't know. Like, we'll have to see.
Well, it's putting a lot of pressure when I say that. But then again, the guy's a former world boxing champion.
When he's out there talking about knocking out teeth and
knocking
other stuff,
out there, yeah.
You know? So like, I expected him to be just like off the wall, but yesterday was very, last week was very calm.
I did get a couple texts about the press conference for Bare Knuckle FC next Thursday.
Okay.
David Feldman said the Harley Davidson, I believe, and I just texted him, I believe it's the Harley Davidson in Brandon.
Okay. Yeah, it's right by on Adamo.
Which really works out well, me driving back from Orlando. I can stop there.
Sure.
And then get over to Caltas on, what do you say it was on? Anderson, just off of Anderson.
And I know there's multiple. Waters. Yeah, there's multiple.
I think it's the one on Waters. That's where the tryout's going to be, and we'll see how many leg kicks you can take.
Sure, liver kicks.
Yeah. And then our guests just got here. They're going to come on in about 20 minutes. I'm really excited to talk to them about a few things and maybe throwing you in there. So after you get the crap kicked out of you next Thursday at the open workouts, I think these guys should use you as a wrestling dummy.
So the big question, though, is like, you know, I'm kind of a big deal.
Yeah. Big deal.
Well, no, but I mean, look what happened to Big Poppy. I mean, if Big Poppy can't keep security, I mean, what am I going to do in public? People, I'm afraid. I'm a little nervous.
That's why I'm taking you out in public.
Huh?
I'm taking you out in public for two reasons.
To be your shield.
No, one of two things. One, to prove that you are a moron and nobody even knows who you are.
What do you mean?
Or two, somebody that takes you out, and then I can get another co-host.
Because like me and Big Poppy are both going to be missing a liver after next week.
Yes, on Thursday you will be out.
What do you think about?
You run your mouth a lot.
I do.
A great deal.
Big time.
Big announcement coming up in about 5 minutes. But before we do, and the guys can't even hear you talk right now, how many, if more than one, workouts would you be able to go through at the World Wrestling Network? Would you last one?
I mean, I could deliver the message to the ring. I mean, I could deliver the butt whooping, you know, just coming off the top rope, delivering them elbow. Yeah, I would grease up in pepperoni juice and like.
I'll bet you there's not a single thing they teach athletes out there that you could do.
What do you mean?
I'll bet you can't.
I'm good at falling down.
Yeah,
I'm good at getting slapped.
You are good at getting slapped. I don't know if you're good at falling down.
I'm good at people pulling my hair. I mean, what other moves are there?
We don't need to know about things.
I got two kids. I've been through it all.
All right. So Matt and Sal will be on here momentarily from the World Wrestling Network. And I'm very intrigued.
I want to wrestle. I mean,
you know, if you survive the open tryouts, if you can survive some
Like
some
I told
kicks,
my boy, the great, the iconic Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
I told him.
Pretty good.
I was like, why is wrestling the dumbest sport on earth? He's like, I don't know. I was like, because two men fighting for a belt and they got no pants on.
I don't get that.
They got no pants on.
What do they have on?
Nothing. They got underwear, like spandex.
You know,
they don't even have belt loops. Why would you fight for a belt?
I have enough of you. Let's reach out, you know, back at the fathership. If you can call our guest, and when you tell me he's on the line, I will break the announcement.
Big news.
Of who is stepping in on basically 2 weeks' notice.
2 weeks' notice.
It's really less because the fight's next Saturday.
Yeah, 22nd. So
I would assume that he just agreed or just found out a day or two ago. So.
Are you excited?
Excited about the announcement?
Excited about just the event all together.
Well, I'm excited about the event. I think it's going to be awesome.
There's a great buzz around it.
I think it's a chance for, and this is what I've said, you know, where Abby is going to tell us this the same thing next Wednesday, how when you're fighting in your hometown, when you're performing, you know, with the wrestling guys here, when you're performing in your hometown, you know, Titus, when WrestleMania comes here next year, you don't think he's going to want to everything to be even better than when it's in Dubai?
Of course.
You know, whether it's your
hometown fans.
It's your hometown.
It's where you lay your head and where you go out and people know you personally and where you buy your groceries and, you know, yeah, you want to be adored.
And that's why I think next Saturday will be very successful.
And shout out to Abby's sponsors. He got a local pizzeria to sponsor him for his fight. You know, so it's local family-owned pizzeria food truck up in Spring Hill, getting behind Abby. And supporting local fighters. I mean, that's what makes pizza so great. That's what makes the community of pizza great, because it's local
people
supporting locals.
Abby talked about, or really his manager, father-in-law, talked about maybe doing an after party here. Does that make sense? Because it's going to be pretty late.
Well, they have a food truck. So, I mean, it would make sense that they drove that to the arena, you know, and then just did it out in the parking lot. But I'll open up for them. I got no problem.
But if the main event's not until, what did he say, 11:22?
11:22 is the main event.
We wouldn't get back till 12:31 o'clock. We're not going to get back before 12:31 o'clock.
Can you drive me to the airport?
I'm not driving you anywhere. All right, so here's the announcement. This has not been made
public. Is it in?
Nobody knows
this. You have it.
David Feldman said that he didn't even announce it, that he was going to let us announce it live on Knockout Radio, heard throughout the country, throughout the world, MMA Weekly, Bubba the Love Sponges Network, Tan Talk Network. We are going to announce it right now. Can lightning strike twice? We will find out next Saturday, stepping in to fight on the 22nd of June in Tampa at the fairgrounds, Dakota Cochran. Dakota, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Not too bad. I appreciate your time. Tell me how this all came together. When did David call? And obviously you've had a fight before, a big fight, beat a big name, and that's why he's saying, can lightning strike twice? How did this whole thing go down?
I guess, David hit me up. I think it was Sunday. He asked me, said Ward might be out. So he's like, hey, would you fight Leben? I said, sure. I'm always down to fight. So let me know. He said, okay, cool. I'll let you know either later today or tomorrow or something like that.
What was intriguing, the fact of a fight, the fact that it's bare knuckle here in Tampa, the fact that it's another big name in Chris Leben, or all three?
I would say all three, actually, yeah. I like to compete, and it's just kind of, you know, you always have that itch to compete, and I love that aspect. So if I get a chance to and I get paid, hell yeah.
Tell us what you know. Obviously, we all know the name Chris Leben. We know about his background. We know about your background. What do you know about Chris Leben? And what do you expect next Saturday?
I know he's a beast, you know. Bare knuckle, you know, that's a great sport for him. He's going to come out hard, and he's going to fight. So I expect a good fight, and it's going to be an explosive fight, and we're going to be throwing some hard punches.
What can you do training-wise, and I don't know how much training you've done up until Sunday when David called you, what will you do over the next 10 days to get ready to be prepared for this fight in Tampa next week?
Just like any time I have a fight, I guess, make sure your cardio is up to par and make sure you have a good game plan and go let it all out during the fight.
How different is training, Dakota, training for a bare knuckle fight than training for, you know, the traditional mixed martial arts fight?
It's a lot different. You know, you just get to solely focus on boxing, and it's you don't have to worry about all the other disciplines. So that's it's pretty nice, actually.
Do you worry about? And worry might not be the right, you know, question or the right word. When you're going to a city, you know, bare knuckle's been in Wyoming. I went out there. I was bored for 3 days. You're coming to Tampa. Obviously, there's things to do. It's a work, you know, visit, but are you going to be able to go do things, look around, see some things that Tampa Bay's known for? Or are you coming in, coming to the fight, and then you're going to leave?
Yeah, it's pretty much just a business trip. I'll get as much recreational time as I can, but, you know, I want to make sure I'm focused and rested for the fight, and then however much time I have between my flight and my fight, I'll enjoy it as much as I can.
Trying to save some of the questions because you'll be live in person with us next Wednesday from the press box, and we're looking forward to that. How big do you think bare knuckle can be? It's just been over a year since that first fight in Wyoming. Can this continue to explode? Can this be a major player?
Yeah, I definitely hope so, and I think so. It's a different avenue for people with different skills, you know. I think it's entertaining. Everybody likes to see a knockout or a stand-up fight during MMA, so this is basically what you get all the whole time, and it's bare knuckle. So it just adds that much more excitement to it and, you know, entertainment.
What are your thoughts, you know, just before a fight? You know, typically I ask when you're walking to the cage or whatever, in the bare knuckle, you know, you're now in, you know, the cage or the ring or whatever it was in the first one. This will be the squared circle. What's running through your mind? Are you thinking game plan? Are you thinking, what am I doing? Am I thinking, hey, this is going to be the best time of my life? What?
I'm just focused on the goal and getting my hand raised. And usually it's following my game plan, and, you know, just more so believing in myself and going out there and giving it, like, as long as I do my best as I possibly can, go out there and try to fight a hell of a fight and hard as I can, I'm happy no matter what. It's when the only time I'm disappointed is when I don't feel like I gave it my all, where I had my chance to show what my skills have.
How much, other than that phone call on Sunday, Dakota, how much input have you had with David Feldman, and what do you think of what he's done and his passion and some of the things that he's done and said? Because I got to be honest with you, I love everything that he has done and how much he loves the sport and trying to get it off the ground.
Yeah, I've been in contact with him for quite a while now, trying to get a fight lined up, and it kind of had to be the right fight. And I was supposed to fight Ward there for a while, but apparently Ward doesn't like to fight whatsoever. So we just move on and go from there. No, it's good. I like David's attitude. He's very straightforward, and told me is what, you know. He told me basically what was going to happen, and it did. So yeah, I can respect that.
I have to say that everything that David Feldman has also told me in over a year, not one thing that he has told me he's not followed through. Everything that he has done, he is a man of his word. Is this a one-fight deal? Do you anticipate being involved with BKFC from here on out?
Yeah, I definitely want to be and definitely will be.
Awesome. Well, we broke it here first. Dakota Cochran on the June 22nd, I keep forgetting what month we're in, the June 22nd card here in Tampa. We're going to give you a package of 8-man strong gear. Typically, we mail it out. I'm going to hand it to you next Wednesday when we do the show with you in person.
Great. I appreciate it.
Appreciate your time. I'll see you next week here in Tampa.
All right. Thanks.
So there you have it. That's the news. He is stepping in for Ward, taking on Chris Lieben.
Huge.
You know, it's not...
That's a big fight.
The first card, you know, the fight on the card, no disrespect to the first fight on the card.
Right, right.
But it's Chris Lieben. But then again, and this is what, in the back of my mind, you know, those little mice that are arguing with me all the time, Dakota went in there and knocked out Johnny Hendricks.
All right.
This is the guy that, you know, who was a wrestler, but wanted to stand up and throw all the time.
Who was the champ.
Who was a former champ.
Former champ.
Not champ.
Not champ.
Just a former champ.
And not a triple champ.
Yeah, do you
the
really?
Triple C.
Yeah, but do you really call him a triple champ?
I don't think you can.
I don't know. I'm asking.
But he says he's going up to 145. He could be the triple champ.
Well, then he could be.
How would that? How would you?
I just don't.
How could you defend?
I just don't. I just don't know where you go with the gold medal. You know, it's a gold medal.
Right.
I'm almost leaning towards the gold medal may even mean more than a belt.
Really?
I'm just saying it could.
Yeah.
But when you're saying champ, do you use the gold medal? It's a different sport.
Well, because it's one private promotion. It's UFC that's their champion for their weight classes, where the Olympic is all the countries, you know, that qualify for the Olympics that have participants. So, yeah, the Olympic one's got to hold more weight, right?
Canada would be upset, though, because he celebrates a great deal.
He does. I can't celebrate.
Canada. I don't want to see the Canadian hockey team, when they win the gold medal again, like always, I don't want to see them celebrate.
Yeah, none.
Because why are you celebrating?
Can't celebrate
we
anymore.
We expect it.
That's it. I mean, did you see the speaking of the Canadians, they celebrated when Durant went down, that they actually might have a chance to win this thing tonight, or tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, you know, game seven. You know, but the fans cheered for a player who got hurt and may have ended his career, possibly.
First and foremost, all fans do. It's a shame. You know, and I'm stereotyping.
But I thought the Canadians were nice people. I didn't think they were going to.
Who told you that?
They're going to kick Drake? Durant while he's down.
Who told you that? Drake?
It's a cheap
Russell
shot.
Peters
it's
is
a cheap
cool.
shot.
Russell Peters is cool, so some Canadians are
okay. It's like hitting someone after the bell, Ferguson.
Of course it is. No, I understand that. And some fans did, you know, cheer and chant and whatever.
Because like when Jessica I got kicked into maybe retirement, right?
She's not going to retire.
but that's what happened to Holly Holm. I mean, Holly Holm kicked Ronda Rousey and like broke her confidence. Like it changed her life. It changed her career path, right? So, you know, when this happens in sport, at first you cheer for Shevchenko because it was an amazing knockout and it was probably one of the highlight reels of all time. But then once you realize that Jessica might have been in danger, that her life might have been in jeopardy, then there was a respect thing that came in, right? But Durant's down on the ground, and then people are cheering.
Well, some
that is out.
Some fans are claiming, they're lying, but they're claiming that they were cheering the turnover. They were cheering that they got the ball.
I say move the wall from Mexico to Canada. Separate those people. Don't let them back in.
Do you know, I know somebody that was going to swim from Canada to Detroit to try to get into the
from
country.
From Windsor?
Yeah. He was going to swim from Windsor.
Yeah.
Because he got deported.
Was it Elias?
I can't tell
when
you.
He got released from the UFC?
I can't tell you. I can't tell you who it is just in case if he eventually
bring Elias down to the bare knuckle. He's a free man.
I wonder if he'd do that.
Let's call him. Fly him down, Dave Feldman. Let's get Elias Theodoro down here.
What would Elias do?
That's our Canadian correspondent. We need him here next week live at the press box.
Well, we don't because we'll be covering it, so we'll be our own correspondents next week.
He can fill in for me. I'll be training liver kicks and like punches and how to deliver a pizza whooping to the wrestling ring.
Oh, keep talking.
I got my belt in the car. I got my own belt. These guys got belts. I got belts too.
Keep talking.
I'm going to go get my belt.
You may not make it out of the show. They may body slam you on one of your tables. I hope so.
But they'll teach me how to fall so I don't get hurt. They're trainers. That's what they do.
You're going to get hurt.
This is the training team. Like this is a school.
I will pay extra if you get hurt.
I never went to college. I got it. This is my only education. I have a future with this. I have a chance.
You could.
I could make it in life.
Well, we'll find out.
Yes.
I don't think you'll make anything in life, but this may be an opportunity for you.
If I can survive liver kicks next week, I'm giving this school a shot.
Okay. First of all, I'm going to have to edumacate you again. All right. This is an open tryout for bare knuckle fighting.
Yes.
There will be no liver kicks. There'll be liver punches.
Oh.
You're not going to get kicked next week.
Oh, I don't want to get punched.
What?
That hurts. Who wants to get punched by the bare knuckle? What kind of gloves do you wear in bare knuckle? They're going to get asked. You know at the press conference. It's going to be asked.
People ask it all the time. What kind of wraps?
Especially with the controversy that Florida requires a glove, but they don't distinguish what the glove looks like.
What a glove is.
Right.
It's a glove on their ankle.
What if it's OJ's glove?
That's worth too much money.
But it'd still be too much padding. I wouldn't watch it. Would you watch it if they put isotoners on and just went in?
Slugging it out.
You're a moron.
It'd be a killer show.
I do want to talk about Kevin Durant. We're going to hit this break. We're going to bring the guys from World Wrestling Network over here for a couple of minutes. Hopefully the first thing they do is just Dusty Road elbow you to the head.
Who's that?
Just recently, by the way, is the anniversary of the passing of Virgil Reynolds.
Oh, yeah? I don't. He was before my time. I didn't grow up with that. I didn't really know.
I expect you, for you to be on this program next
I know
week,
the name. I know the name.
You need to go to your Stream TV and watch some Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
Do you know To Date? And I don't want to say it is my number one, but I'll put it at five.
Top five.
It probably is my favorite of all time. But just out of respect, and I won't tell you the other four, that way people won't get mad at me. One of my favorite interviews of all time.
Really?
Was with Dusty Rhodes. It was so cool. Definitely a legend of the sport. Not that your boy's not. No. Not that Randy's not. Not that Paige is not. But Dusty is in the Tampa Bay area. Dusty was the guy. It was Dusty and Ric Flair.
Yeah, Ric Flair.
And it was just the recent passing of Dusty and Cody and Dustin just had that big match a couple weeks ago.
Sure.
So a little excited about talking some wrestling with the guys. So let's go hit this break. When we come back, we'll do a little wrestling talk, and then hopefully you're going to get beat up a little bit. And that would excite me even more than talking wrestling.
I can't wait.
Coming to you live from Torta Pizza, 88th Avenue and 4th Street in St. Pete. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Stout Sonic.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Mike Allstott, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
Ape Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Ape Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Since our first store opened in 1969 to our latest acquisition, Mr. Car Wash has always centered on people and bringing them the best service and shine in the car wash industry.
Through continuous research and development, Mr. Car Wash champions the newest technology and services to make your car wash experience better for your vehicle and the environment. With locations from sea to shining sea, go to MrCarWash.com for more details.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Torta Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Torta Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Torta Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12 draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The Press Box Sports Emporium at 222 South Dale Mabry in Tampa.
Hi, this is Herschel Walker, and I tell everyone out there, listen, y'all need to listen to Knockout Radio.
Everybody get up.
All right, we are back. Final segments.
Yeah.
This one might go long.
Yeah, let's run it.
It is one of my favorite subjects.
You are a diehard fan.
I grew up watching wrestling. Go back. We'll mention names and stuff. First, let's welcome our guests, Matt Seidel and Sal Hamowy. Oh, not bad.
Nice job.
Yeah, I practiced.
You did.
So I was watching wrestling a couple weeks ago, and I saw a commercial. And I didn't know that there's a training facility in the Tampa Bay area. So let's start with that. Talk a little bit about the school.
Yeah, that's right. We have an awesome pro wrestling training center right off of Olmerton Road, 8223 Olmerton Road in Largo. We run classes four nights a week there, plus we do shows on the weekends. I mean, it is a wrestling factory. We're cranking out all-stars there. We're cranking out world-class wrestlers. The Florida market is super hot with wrestling. Fans are kind of going crazy for it these days, so we're trying to get a lot of wrestlers trained so that we can get these guys on our shows and get them into the big time.
Let me ask you this first and foremost, the first thing that came to my mind. You know, I train some MMA. I'm in a gym training. Doesn't mean I want to be a fighter. Does people that come to your training facility, can they come just to get in shape kind of thing, or is this only to become possibly a professional wrestler?
Well, yeah, of course, that is the side effect of being a wrestler, is you're going to be in really good shape.
Sure.
A lot of the training and discipline comes from amateur wrestling and MMA-style training, which is a great way to get somebody's body healthy enough and strong enough and durable enough to be able to do the real fun stuff of pro wrestling. So really, the fitness kind of comes first, and then the wrestling technique follows that.
So what's a typical – now, this is like a year long to become a wrestler, correct?
15 months.
Walk me through like day one and maybe day 206.
All right. Well, they all involve a lot of sumo squats. That's just there's a standard Japanese wrestling technique where you just do that free weight, body weight squat. And that's sort of a testament. That's how we test people to see what their will is, to see how far they can push their body past that failure point. We are looking for people who have that kind of resiliency and to see if you're ready for a show. The greatest thing about these classes is it's a group effort. And so you got to imagine the gym is a sweaty place when you get in there, and it livens up with this energy once we start moving around, because wrestling's not a sport where you sit quiet in the background. Wrestling's a sport where you yell and you scream and you encourage the guy next to you. So even just on our beginning roll series, we start to work up into we start to get a good vibe going. And it's like, you know, the slow clap. That's a very common thing in wrestling. And you know, you get a good slow clap going a couple times at training and you find yourself bouncing off the ropes 10 more times than you did last time. We do tricks where we'll see who can roll the most times in a row until they get so dizzy they can't stand up. And guys are going 20, 25, 30. And we just keep in, there's this, we just feed off of each other. The energy that you get when you watch pro wrestling, that's sort of what we put into the training. So that way it becomes real organic when it occurs in the ring and in a performance.
I think it's real important as we get started is to fill the national audience on your background. You know who you are. Some people may know who you are, and some people may not.
Yes, well, greetings, my friends. I am Matt Seidel. I performed in the WWE for a number of years under Evan Airborne. I was one of the world's best high flyers, still am. I've been a champion in Japan for Dragon Gate, for New Japan Pro Wrestling. I still continue to wrestle all over the globe. And the most important thing I've learned throughout when I started in St. Louis, Missouri, so I trained in classic old school pro wrestling. And then I went out and ventured all around the world and learned stuff from Mexican pro wrestling and Japanese pro wrestling, Canadian pro wrestling. And I've sort of merged it all together into like a unifying style of wrestling that wrestling is what I love. It's what I've loved since I was a kid. And now I get a chance to share the exact thing that I love with even more people. And this is just such a great gift when I get to bring students in and show them all the mistakes that I've made, and they're not making them 10 years into wrestling. They're doing them month one, and then we're fixing it and moving on, and we're creating – it's such a fulfilling thing to watch guys that I've trained move on. We've had a number of guys go to NXT my old tag team partner Ricochet just debuted on Monday Night Raw. And when you see somebody who's your partner, a guy you've trained with and built up, when you see these guys debut on Monday Night Raw, it's as if I'm there myself feeling that success. And that's what we're looking to do here.
When you get started, and now you've been there 6 months, 12 months, you're towards the end of the run, how do you guys decide, you know, like characters or, you know, what your finishing move is? Does that just develop like a nickname, or is it something that you kind of see and then run with that?
Yeah, part of the casting call when we're looking for wrestlers is somebody who's creative. We're looking for guys who have a very unique sense of creativity, because we're not looking for people who want to just be a wrestler that they've already seen, somebody who wants to dress like The Undertaker. We don't need somebody like that. I want an innovator, somebody who's trying to do their own thing. So when a student comes in with an idea for a character and a gimmick, we just start working with that right away at day one. We Yes. start working on promos. I mean, there's so many aspects to wrestling outside of just the physical in-ring training. And that is the bulk of the training, but you better believe that there's a mental aspect to it, a gamesmanship, promos, doing radio interviews with wonderful hosts at a pizza shop, all these things we train guys in.
I know
my career is about to take off.
I understand
15
all
months and I'm a star.
I get it. And I think you can do everything that they've said but one.
The Naked Pizza Man debut as a pro wrestler.
I think he can do it all but the physical stuff.
Delivering an ass whooping to the cave, to the ring.
All right, but, so let's get you started.
Listen, so Terry Hulk Hogan is a really good friend of mine, a mentor for the last couple of years. And he was just telling us a story at the WrestleMania about how once he got in the ring, he heard the crowd. He had a job lined up as a banker, a personal banker. He's like, how can I do that? You know, like, once you get that taste, like, tell people about that experience, like what it's like to be in that life.
There's something really special. There's a special energy that I was talking about that you can feel when you're standing in the ring, because it's like it's like this object that sits in the middle of everybody's attention, and everybody knows there's nothing but unleashed. There's potential that hasn't been unleashed yet inside that ring, and everybody's waiting to see what's going to happen, because you might know the two guys that are walking into the ring, but nobody knows what's going to happen once that bell rings. And there's just this level of excitement, of unknown, of stress in the air, of violence in the air, of the possibility where anything can happen. And that's kind of this switch that goes on when you're in the ring, and the fans start to build a buzz of energy, and you just learn to ride that wave. And I think that's what the Hulkster did. You would watch him come back, and it was as if he's feeding off the crowd. And for me, you know, I've done a lot of sports, I've been into yoga and other disciplines, but there's something about wrestling and performing in that ring that allows you to get to another level of consciousness where you're able to tune everything out, forget about all the pain, all the worries, get into some kind of crazy Zen state, and just really just be one organism with the audience.
I've been around numerous athletes, football, baseball, blah, 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 blah. And the only thing that they like is wrestling. You know, you'll go and talk to football guys. They don't want to talk to football guys. They want to watch wrestling. They want to be involved in wrestling. So a question that I do want to ask, and I ask the fighters this a lot when they're in the middle of a fight, what's the craziest, strangest thing you might have thought of in the middle of a performance, in the middle of the ring? And the reason I'm asking, I asked a fighter this once. He was fighting a German fighter, Dennis Seaver, and Dennis Seaver's corner was talking German, and he said for 5-6 seconds, he's hearing German, so he thought of, what's the movie?
The Glorious Bastards.
So he sees the movie he's in the middle of the fight. So have you ever drifted for a second and kind of had to catch yourself?
One of the oddest moments that happened to me happened at WrestleMania. I was in a Money in the Bank ladder match, and it's in Phoenix, Arizona, with 80,000 people there. WrestleMania is coming to Tampa next year, guys, mind you.
Oh, yeah.
So if you start training now, you can be ready for Mania by Mania.
There you go.
You know, don't doubt that. But I was, you know, I'm in this crazy ladder match, and I take this huge fall. Matt Hardy hurls me off a ladder. I smash to the floor, bounce off the out of the ring onto the mats on the ground, and I'm like in a ball up against the guardrail, and I'm wrestling it. I'm Evan Airborne, right? That's me. That's who I am. And out of the corner of my ear, I hear my dad yelling, "Matthew, Matthew, Matthew!" And I look up and I go, "Dad," and this isn't the greatest radio thing, but I kind of do the cut it at the throat. I give him a cut it. Hey, cut it. I'm wrestling as Evan today. Dad, don't call me Matthew. But he was so caught up in that moment, and he was beaming with pride. And so it was just a funny moment where it took me out of this super intense life or death situation right into, hey, Dad, chill out for a minute. I got to go back up here and climb this ladder and try and grab a briefcase.
That's crazy. With WrestleMania coming next year, like you just mentioned, a good friend of mine, King Mo, Muhammad Lawal, we've gone to some of the other things during WrestleMania week, and he's always told me that their WrestleMania is awesome, but it's some of this other stuff that goes around town. Are you guys already planning something for next year?
Yeah, we WWN operates probably six or seven different brands.
Hold on one second. Go ahead and take that one. For some reason, that's not. Okay. Live radio is great.
All right. WWN, World Wrestling Network, is a parent company to about five or six different brands. One of them, the top brand, is called Evolve Wrestling, and that's part of the WWE developmental system now. So the a lot of the wrestlers that are in NXT now, which is right before you get to Raw and SmackDown, have come through us. And so we're kind of finishing school for these guys. Some of the wrestlers that are signed with NXT are sent to us to kind of work with them a little bit more and get them ready to move up up the ladder. But every year since, well, actually since Phoenix in 2010, we've done shows around WrestleMania called the WWN Live Experience, which we'll do anywhere, up to 12 events from Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, leading right up to Mania on Sunday. So when you have 80,000 wrestling fans from all over the world converging on one city, there's a lot, there's a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, and it's not just the fans that converge on the city. It's the world's best wrestlers. The guys that are going to be on WrestleMania main events for the next 10 years, you can watch them before they're there. And as they're on their way, and the drive and the hunger and the wild aspect and you cannot expect what's about to happen atmosphere happens at these shows just outside the WWE. It's more of the fringe. It's more the independent. It's the underground. And this has a great appeal to more modern day wrestling fans. WWE really does cater towards kids and a more family audience, which is great. But you can go through these. There's just a variety of wrestling shows and events to match anybody's taste. Wrestling truly is for everyone. And through WWN and through the school, we're here to bring it out to everybody.
This past WrestleMania, which was the first weekend of April, we had events up in New York, up in Queens and Brooklyn. Mania was in Shea Stadium, right?
Where the Jets and Giants play.
Okay.
New Jersey.
New Jersey Stadium, anyways. But we ended up, we had shows from groups out of Germany. We had a group from Japan that did shows. We had an all-women's event, total of six or seven events in the course of 3 days. Next year, it is in Tampa. We will be at the old Fort Homer Hester Armory for 3 days, so Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, planning on running about 12 events over the course of 3 days.
Which is now the Brian Glazer Boys and Girls Club. That's where World Class Fight League is. I used to go there every Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. I used to go there for filming. Gordon Soley was a very good friend of mine, probably before your time. That's how I grew up. I grew up with that. And I know that Mo would always talk about, King Mo, would talk about these other events. You know, that WrestleMania is great. The WWE is awesome. But it's some of these other shows. You know, it's guys trying to get to that level that sometimes, I don't want to say they give more, but it appears like they give more.
It's a different energy. It's a different vibe. You know, these guys are out there. Yeah, I'm not saying that the guys in WWE don't leave everything in the ring. They do. But it's a little bit more, it's a more underground feel to it. It's a more dangerous type feel to it. It's a different flavor, and that's a great thing about pro wrestling. It's got so many different variations and so many different flavors. You may not like, what you're seeing on TV every week, but, you may be into the Mexican Lucha Libre, or you may be into the UK Catch-as-Catch-Can style wrestling, or, it's just such a different variety of wrestling, and it has something for everybody.
When you go through your school, who determines, and whoever that is, when do they determine, heel, baby face, that kind of stuff?
It's organic.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. Certain people come in with a disposition where you just look like you're the good guy or the bad guy. But, the the challenge is learning all the roles and being able to be a versatile wrestler, what we would call in wrestling the lingo, a good hand. You want somebody who's technically perfect, has a calm, relaxed understanding of all the possibilities that can happen in the ring, and somebody who really is just able to go with the flow. Because in wrestling, you never know. Guys are bouncing on the ropes. No, not everybody makes it. Some guys slip. You have to be able to call it on the fly. And your ability to move with the audience is super important in how people connect. And if you connect with people in a negative way, maybe you should be working to get the boos. But maybe you should also be learning to make them cheer you, so then you can then turn it back around and stuff it in their face. You know, that's the fun of wrestling, is nothing's permanent, and it's just this awesome variety show where anything goes.
Do you enjoy it just as much now as you did when you first started? I mean, I see a passion as you're talking about it.
It's great because, I mean, it really is the chance to share what I love with other people. I get it. Like, I used to get asked in interviews, who inspired you to start wrestling? But that was 20 years ago. It's who inspires me now, and I am more inspired than ever by these guys that I've worked with. Some of the luchadors like Phoenix and Pentagon, Will Ospreay, Ricochet. I mean, I get inspired by Rey Mysterio and Chris Jericho, the guys that inspired me when I began. They're still out there doing it. So for me, it's like I can't think about resting on my laurels. I mean, the standard keeps getting raised higher and higher, and the style of wrestling that we've been working really, really hard to push out to the masses is now out there. So now not only am I competing with a small group of guys, my competition is spread to the entire world. And that's sort of been what's helped me level up my game and want to do more. And because as my friend Phoenix says, siempre mejor, always better, always better. And that's just a mantra that I go by. And I push that at the school. You know, it's technique, perseverance, and repetition, repetition, repetition. And, you know, we're looking to make wrestlers. And if you can tell by the fact that I've been doing this for 20 years and still love it, you know, that's the passion I'm trying to instill in people when they train.
What did you start at, four? I mean,
I was licensed to wrestle in Missouri when I was 17, I was the first person under 18 to ever be allowed to wrestle in a ring in Missouri. But before that, I was building rings in my backyard at 15, 16, 17. I was going around wrestling other kids in their backyards. I mean, wrestling has been calling me since I was a young man, and it's just such a great outlet. It's the perfect blend of violence and art and beauty and discipline and, you know, learning to be really intense on the outside but nice and calm on the inside, where, you know, if the guys you're working with are your closest friends and you're hitting each other in the face all the time, you get used to it and you get this comfort level and you build a camaraderie. And that's one of the greatest things about wrestling, is the guys you meet in the locker room come from all walks of life, all over the world, every shape, size of person. But we all have this one passion in common, and it just really unites us.
I wanted to ask, and this is a great segue, because you just said when you're wrestling with somebody you like, what if it's somebody you don't like? You know, I've had co-hosts, and I'm not necessarily saying you. There's been other co-hosts, you know, that I haven't liked. But as soon as the light goes on, we do the show. We do our 2-3 hours, and then we go our own way. Talk about that for a second.
Well, absolutely. That's why we call it professional wrestling. There's also, it's very competitive. But in fact, the idea is that the closer friends you are with somebody, the harder you can get away with hitting them. But if you hit somebody you don't know or you don't like very well, it will be matched. The idea is to keep it equal. However hard you hit me, I'll hit you. It's sort of an unsaid golden rule of wrestling, but it makes sense. As hard as you're going to hit me, I'm going to hit you. And the fun part of Japanese wrestling is standing in front of somebody and just hitting them and then taking one back. So it's not about really trying to put that combo together and take them down. It's about standing there in front of the audience, and it's sort of that tough man competition comes into play. I'm going to hit you with my elbow as hard as I can, and then I'll give you a second, then you fire one back, and let's just go one-to-one until somebody stops. You know,
we stress safety over everything else. I don't want people to think you're going to come in there and, you know, get your ass whooped. But, I mean, safety first. It's always first. But I've known Matt since 2004. I was there when he first made the trip out to Ring of Honor in Elizabeth City, New Jersey, with a couple other people, Delirious and Daisy. And, you know, he's worked, you know, all my shows, you know, for the last, you know, 14 years or so. And when the opportunity came to move the school from Hudson, where we originally were for the first year, to Clearwater, Largo specifically. He was the first person I called, and you know, I couldn't be happier with the choice we made. It's been fantastic.
Talk to me real quick before we run out of time about the facility. How can people get information? How do I get this knucklehead to my right signed up so I can get him off my show?
You visit online. You can go to WWNTC. WWNTC.com, and there's a little form that you can fill out, and we'll get an email with your information, or you can call our hotline at 727-401-2836.
You mentioned about your other shows, so you know, I'm sure there's plenty of people that are going to want to get involved. They want to try to become a wrestler. What if they, you know, fans want to go to a show? Where do we get information, and when are your shows?
We do weekly shows in Port Richey at the Gulfview Event Center. We have a facility there called the Gulfview Event Center in Gulfview Mall. We do weekly shows. Those will be the first shows that our students work. They're in front of a smaller crowd, but a passionate crowd, and you know, it'll give them an opportunity to get their feet wet and to work out some of the, you know, just get some matches under their belt in front of a live audience. We do bigger shows on a bimonthly basis in Ybor. Our next one is July the 19th in Ybor City at the Orpheum. It's FIP, Full Impact Pro. It's one of our biggest shows of the year. It's called Heat Stroke. So we'll have wrestlers come in from all over the country to work that event. And
I think we need to go to that.
Yeah,
I want to get involved with you guys. I really, truly do. Maybe do some shows, you know, some radio shows from your facility.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it'd be fantastic. And then, you know, so we have a tier system in WWN. So you'll ideally train in our facility. Then you'll start working the weekly shows probably about 9 months to a year in. You'll start working the weekly shows every couple weeks or so. And then hopefully you get good enough. You start going on the monthly ACW. We do internet pay-per-views. We have a streaming service at WWNLive.com. So you'll move up the ladder. You'll start working the monthly ACW pay-per-views, the flagship shows, as opposed to just the weekly shows. And then we'll move you up to work in Full Impact Pro, which people ask me, what's Full Impact Pro? It's more of it's what ECW would be if they were still around. It's a lot more kind of dangerous, a lot more adult oriented. You know, there are no rules. Anything goes in FIP. And then, as you improve, we move you up to, the idea is if you're a female, you work the Shine, which is our premier female promotion, Shine Wrestling. Or if you're a male, we move you up to Evolve Wrestling, which the next step after that would be to, you know, get you a tryout with NXT and WWE.
Do you have any run-ins with Sabu Piscitelli, who's in NXT, used to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer?
No.
I don't know if you know, but I think he goes by Tino Sabatini or something now. You familiar with him at all?
No. But my partner is my partner in Evolve, Gabe Sapolsky. He was one of the founders of Ring of Honor Wrestling back in 2002. He's one of the creative consultants with NXT, and so it's a good opportunity. I mean, if your end goal, everyone's end goal should be to work the main event of WrestleMania. Okay, if you're in this business, that's what you should be striving for. If that's not what you're striving for, there's a problem. You know, it's not for everybody, but that should be your goal. And we've set up a tier system for people from day one until your main event WrestleMania. We're here to work with you, make sure that you learn the craft in a safe manner, that you're not hurting yourself, you're not hurting the people that you're in the ring with. Safety is a priority. It's a pinnacle concern for us at the training center. That, you know, if you fall the wrong way in the ring, you could get a concussion. Okay, I mean, and concussions are a major issue. So you know, we put safety before anything else. Try to teach you your the basics in an organized, concise manner, and then everything starts falling into place.
Can either one of you explain the love of wrestling? You know, it doesn't matter if you're 4 years old, 14 years old, or 84 years old. The love, male and female, of wrestling.
I just think wrestling is the ultimate reality, because there's everything. there's just something direct about it. When two people collide, that feeling before a fight, and the truth about every fight is both people agree to do battle. And there's just something that internally in humans, when two people agree to go for the conflict, to face each other, there's something that is a unconscious pull where you just have to watch because you want to see what happens. You need to know how this plays out. And that's the drama that we do in wrestling.
For me, I remember the first time I saw a wrestling show. This was probably 1983. We just got cable television. Remember with the knob?
Oh, I remember.
Okay, and Georgia Championship Wrestling was on, and I saw a Ric Flair promo, and I'm like, what's this? It was my first exposure to it. My parents never liked wrestling. It was like, and then my best friend and I ended up going to the first WrestleMania at the Cleveland Convention Center. It was on close circuit television. I don't know if people even know what that is anymore.
That's my screen right there. Yeah. Speaking of Ric Flair.
Okay, so I was just hooked at that point. I was engulfed in wrestling. I mean, it was everything I wanted at that point. There was no internet. Every Wednesday, I'd go right to Walden Books. There's no Walden Books anymore. People don't even know what I'm talking about. But I would go get what they call the After Mags, the Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and Inside Wrestling magazines. They'd come out, and you know, you'd know about all these different territories. It was before wrestling was national. What happened was there was territories. Florida was one of the biggest territories. And I'd be, you know, going through these books, and there's, you know, Kevin Sullivan, the Satan worshiper with woman and in Florida. And you just
with
read
a spider.
Up. Yeah, it was just phenomenal. It was just exciting. It was dangerous. It was exciting. It was, and then I felt that same feeling again watching ECW. It's like, I shouldn't be watching this. It was on at like 2 a.m. on Sun Sports, the Sunshine Network back then. And I'm like, I shouldn't be watching this, but it was just, you know, it's so dangerous and so exciting, and it just draws you in. It's drama, you know. It's a lot like it's a Greek drama. You know, you have your good guys, you have your bad guys, and it's a struggle. And what's so great about it is when it's done right, the fans completely suspend their disbelief, and they're in the moment with the wrestlers. And I think that's where the passion is. I mean, it's you're there. It's a collective experience with all the fans, and you're literally in the ring with these two, athletes putting, you know, leaving everything in the ring.
And that's what I was going to say, you know, in closing, when events that I've been to, just what the athletes do with the fans, whether it's good or bad, the bad is still fun too, you know, and how fans get involved in it. It's not like just going to a movie and sitting there and watching a movie. You know, it's interactive from the athlete standpoint and from the fan standpoint.
And you mentioned earlier, how do you decide, you know, who's the good guy, who's the bad guy? Really, I mean, the most successful wrestlers are really extensions of who they really are. If, you know, Ric Flair is Richard Flair geared up, you know, turned up 100 times. Steve Austin was, you know, Steve Williams just turned up 100 times. You know, the same thing with The Rock. When The Rock kind of blew up, it was basically, you know, he just took who he was and just amplified it. And you make that connection with the fans are, you know, the wrestling fans are really some of the smartest fans in the world, because they can sense what's real and what's, and you know, obviously it's a staged event. I mean, you know the outcome, and no one's in there really trying to hurt themselves.
Well, I'm just going to jump in for a second. They know, you know the outcome. And this has always been my complaint to fans, is that you know, but we don't know. Mm-hmm. So they're like, well, how can you watch that when you know? I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know who's going to win or lose.
They're telling a story. The guys in the ring are telling a story. And if they tell it the right way, with the right amount of emotion, or with the right amount of athleticism, it's unlike anything else that's out there.
One more time before we're out of time, how can people get information? How can they sign up, or how can they get tickets to any of our events?
Please visit to find out more about the training center. We are at 8223 Almerton Road in Largo. Feel free to stop by any evening, Monday through Thursday, right around 7:30 p.m. is when classes start, and just kind of take a look around. You can reach us online at WWNTC.com, all one word, or call 727-401-2836. And our next live event, our next major live event in the Tampa Bay area will be in Ybor City at the Orpheum, July the 19th. It's a Friday. It'll be at 9 p.m. So you can avoid all the rush hour traffic on a Friday. It'll be FIP, Full Impact Pro Heat Stroke 2019. And looking forward to having everyone there.
We'll maybe work something out, get some of their athletes on as well. Next Wednesday, we will come to you live from the Press Box Sports Emporium in Tampa with Paulie, with Artem, with Dakota Cochran, with Chris Lido and Chris Lieben. It's going to be a good show next week. And we'll have tickets to give away for Bare Knuckle FC 6. Until then, hit me up on Twitter at Knockout Radio. Stream yours, Naked Pizza Man 91. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Scott Sun.
I took her home to my place, watching every move on her face. She said, look, what's your
Tampa Bay's Tan Talk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Ape Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Ape Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low-carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.